Girls still get messages that they can't do some of the things that boys do, not just in other places, but here in our country. Our next guest works to correct that by encouraging girls to develop skills in math and science. Reshma Saujani goes a step beyond the specific skills and suggests a general approach girls and women should consider, setting aside a focus on being perfect. Reshma Saujani's new book is called Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder. Reshma Saujani is the founder and CEO of Girls Who Code, a nonprofit working to close the gender gap in technology. She began her career as an attorney, an activist, and politician. She ran for Congress in 2010 and lost. And Reshma, you begin the book with that loss. Was that something like the first major risk you'd ever taken?
It was the first major risk that I had taken, and it was the first time that I had truly failed, and failed so miserably. I mean, I lost my election. I barely got 19% of the vote. I was broke. I was humiliated. I had pissed off everybody in the Democratic establishment. But the big, like, aha moment for me because of the loss was like, oh my God, like, I failed, but it didn't break me. I had literally thought that if I had failed, it would break me. And I think a lot of women think that. And so we don't take risks because for fear that we won't be able to pick ourselves back up.
All right, we'll pick up the discussion on the other side of a break. The book is called Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder. It's by Reshma Saujani. We'll come back to talk more with her. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by phone and email. We'll talk about how back from this break on the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're continuing a conversation we just got started with Reshma Saujani, who we talked to before, but almost exactly 18 months ago, it turns out, on September 1st of 2017, to talk about her book, Girls Who Code. She is the founder and CEO of an organization called Girls Who Code, which is a nonprofit working to close the gender gap in technology. She takes a more general look at how women and girls might think about approaching life differently in a book called Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Reshma, you say many women only stick to things at which they excel. Is that restricted just to women, though?
Well, it's funny. Most men I know have a hobby, something they like to do. Call it golf, basketball, fantasy football. They're not really good at it, but they like it. My husband's like this way about tennis. But most of them I know don't have something like that in their lives. They won't even go to a spinning class until they're, quote, fit. And so we have this perspective that, like, if we're not good at something, we don't want to do it. And I think that that starts at such a young age. You know, one of the stories I talk about in my book is this computer science teacher, Brad. And when the kids in his classroom in high school are building network cables, if the boys do it wrong, he can just take out a pair of scissors, cut it, and be like, nope, do it again. And with girls, you have to be like, okay, you did this part right. Maybe you should try that part again. Because for so long they've been so protected and coddled, they're not used to hearing critical feedback.
So you point out that and this is really surprising to me, that men apply for corporate jobs even when they only have 60% of the qualifications.
Yep, and women, 100%.
Really, and if they don't check all the boxes, they won't apply.
They will not apply. And when I've talked to countless women for this book, and now countless women as I'm kind of going around the country talking about the book, and it absolutely holds true for us. Because, you know, from the time that we're young, we get addicted to perfection, and we start giving up before we even try. You know, for young women in college, if they get a B instead of an A in an introductory level course for a major that they've selected, they'll drop out of that major. Whereas guys are like, oh my God, I got a B. That's amazing. So we've been kind of conditioned this way and behaving this way our whole lives. And because we thought that perfection is what basically works. But in the real world, that's not what works. It's bravery that matters. It's raising your hand for an assignment that you may not know how to figure out perfectly yet. And we have a hard time doing that.
So you certainly broke out of your box. I mean, when you started Girls Who Code, how much did you know about coding for computers?
Nothing. But it's because I lost that congressional race. It's because I took a risk and failed and it didn't break me that I started exercising my bravery muscle. So then when it came to the moment where I had an idea about teaching girls to code, and I didn't code, it didn't stop me. I figured, okay, I can find people who can build the curriculum, right, and figure this out. I can use the other talents that I have, you know, evangelizing, raising money, research, writing, and I can figure this out. And again, I don't think that I would have ever started Girls Who Code had I not lost that race.
So
I learned how to build my bravery muscle.
That really did lead to a lot of things. That, I mean, so aside from the you mentioned that you got everybody annoyed with you in the Democratic Party and you got 90% of the vote, and you talked about literally picking yourself up off the floor. But was the basic beginning message, I'm still alive, I can still do things?
I'm still alive, and my dream didn't work out, and I didn't even get close, and I'm still okay. And in some ways, it felt exhilarating to have actually tried something and it not worked out, because at least I tried. Because up until that point, I had just made all the decisions based on what I thought I should do. The schools I chose, the jobs I chose, the relationships that I was in. Everything was basically one step for the perfect me, and I was miserable. And so running that race, I've never felt so free in my life. And I was also like, even though it didn't work out, again, this idea of like, I'm not broken, I can try again, I can build again, was just incredible. And I started living my life very differently, which is why I wrote this book. I think I want to do the same for women all across the world, is that I believe that when we start building our everyday bravery muscle, it will change everything for us. And you don't have to run for Congress to do that. You know, maybe you just have to try something that you don't think that you're good at, like go to a yoga class or a gym class before you're quote in shape. Tell your friend that, no, I can't watch your cat, or I don't have time, you know what I mean, to help you clean your house. Mm-hmm. Or the next time you're walking down the street and someone bumps into you, don't say, I'm sorry. Tell them to be careful where they're walking. So there's things that, again, we can unlearn about our everyday bravery, about our everyday lives, that will help build our bravery muscle.
Reshma Saujani, our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Her latest book is called Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder, primarily aimed at women and girls. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Talk about ways in which you have felt daunted to move ahead in life because you wanted to make sure what you were doing was perfect. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Reshma, you gave a TED talk about girls and perfection a few years ago. What kinds of responses did you get to it?
It was incredible. You know, I told this story about how when girls are coming to my classroom and they're first learning how to code, they'll call the teacher over and they'll say, I don't know what code to write. And so the teacher will look at her screen and she'll see a blank text editor. But if the teacher presses undo a few times, she'll see that her student wrote code, but then deleted it. So instead of showing the progress that she made, she rather showed nothing at all. Perfection or bust. And so when I talked about this, it was crazy how it resonated with so many people. Women who worked at a Walmart in Nebraska, to women who owned an art gallery in Chelsea, to dads, to parents, to teens, to 7-year-old women. Everybody was like, I do that. I live my life that way. And so that's why I decided to write this book. And I spent a couple of years really working on it, talking to people and thinking about, you know, can we start living our lives brave, not perfect? Can we recondition ourselves to unlearn perfectionism and to basically replace it with bravery? And will it make us more happy? Will it make us more joyful? And the answer is yes.
So we're talking about moving off the rail or the guardrail on one side, but I want to ask if there's any advice for not going too far the other way and hurting yourself or your chances for success in life.
I think the difference is between excellence and perfection. I think you should pursue excellence. I certainly do. But that means that you enjoy the ride. You don't get too attached to the destination. You know, a great story of this is a friend of mine is a diver, and she was trying out for the Olympics. And it was the last trial that she could actually have a chance to go. She goes up, she takes her dive, she fails, flat on her face. It's over, like her dream is dead. Pool clears, she's sitting there. Her boyfriend's like tapping his, you know, foot, being like, can we go now? And she looks at him and she says, give me a minute. And she goes up and she does the perfect dive. She didn't do that for the Olympics. She did that for herself so that she knew that she could do it. That's excellent.
So let's talk about what kinds of things happen to us when we're raised that makes these differences. You quote a psychologist on how the genders split at about age 8, and I'm just curious about what kinds of things cause the divergence.
Well, like around 8 is also when kids start getting tested in school. And for girls, it's also when that inner critic shows up and it starts judging you. And it's also when you start watching the other adults in your life and you see your mom be like, oh my God, can you believe her? She's wearing those jeans? Like, her butt is so big. And so we watch how our mothers and our people around us, our fathers, rank themselves vis-a-vis others and how they start people-pleasing. And we start mimicking it and we start copying it. And that's when we start putting aside our needs for others in ways that's not very healthy or even empathetic. And that's when it starts.
And the responses are different, too, I would presume. I mean, if you carry on like an uninhibited boy, but you're a 9-year-old girl, the response is going to be different.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it all the time. You know, even if you're sitting in a playground and, you know, your daughter's like grabbing something from another girl, you're supposed to be like, be nice. You're not supposed to grab that toy. You know, or if you see, a young girl with her hair unruly and, you know, a shirt with ice cream all on top of it. You know, and I think we're judged for that, too. But I think that that's what's got to end. A friend sent me a really cute picture. He had put a helmet on his daughter and was teaching her, you know, how to fix the toilet. And because one of the things I talk about is it's really important, I think, at a young age to kind of get your hands dirty, right? To teach our girls to, like, be technical, to take things apart and to get real messy and to get the scabs on our knees. Because that's when we start learning how to build and create and to innovate and to not worry what other people think.
I have to wonder then, I mean, are we saying that if you do it the old-fashioned way, this just gets passed on generation to generation, right? I mean, girls raised this
Absolutely.
Way will grow up to raise their daughters this way.
Absolutely. All of us have our mother's voice in our heads. Stand straighter. Are you really wearing that? Oh, I don't know if you should try out for that job. I mean, it's really hard, right? That protecting, that coddling, that judgment. Your mother could never be the perfect her, so now she wants you to try to be the perfect you. And it's this vicious, vicious cycle, which is why so many of us find that our fathers are actually more forgiving of our failures. Our fathers are actually the ones who encourage us to have flaws and to not be flawless and to take the risk and to tell people what we think, because they live their lives that way without judgment, without risk, and with a lot of risk. And I think that it's so fascinating. Again, how we pass this on generation after generation after generation. That's why I tell all my parents, throw out your parenting books. They're wrong. This protecting, this coddling in the name of confidence is killing our resilience.
Has anybody gotten in your face, Reshma, about the stuff you talk about, though? I mean, anybody, you know, psychologist or anybody come back and say, hey, wait a minute, this is not really the right thing?
I mean, not yet. You know, we'll see. I think that I actually think what I have found is a lot of nodding and yes, and not just from women, but from men too. I think men are like, yes, I see this difference between my daughters and the son, or I see this behavior in my wife, right? Or I see the fact that I was actually raised to be that way, you know? And so I feel like it's really a reflection of what's happening in the world and what's happening in reality. And I think that so much of women who have been living Brave Not Perfect, and quite frankly, it's like my tens of thousands of students, you know, myself and others who have participated in our focus groups and our bravery challenges, they see the difference. And I don't want to say that it's one and done, you know, do something imperfect, you know, just start and all of a sudden you'll be cured and you'll be fixed. It is a practice. It is a practice, quite frankly, I'm struggling with right now. You know, something that I wanted didn't work out. And I'm going for a run this morning to just shake it off. You know, and to not let it define me.
But that is a constant process then. I mean, the failure is an ongoing thing. You want to make sure you fail more than once.
It is a constant process. And I think the more you fail, the more easier it is to get up and try again. And listen, bravery is a moonshot. 90% of the time, it is not going to work out. But here's the thing, you're not sitting there with regret. So many women I know, like, they have ideas. They have things that they want to do. You know, things maybe that they don't want to do. Maybe they don't want to have another child. And they let someone talk themselves out of it, or they talk themselves out of it. And then they see somebody else doing the very thing that they thought that they couldn't do. And they're full of regret and envy, and it eats them up inside. So I always say to women, you know what? Go to where your envy is. Go to where your regret is. That's where you should be.
Reshma Saujani, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder and CEO of Girls Who Code, which works to convince girls that they do have skills in math and science and should grow those and encourage them. Her book, latest book, is called Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder. It's a conversation you can join on the Jefferson Exchange. Compare notes with us about the kinds of things you might have learned in your own life about trying to be perfect and how it might have held you back from attempting to do more things. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So in Girls Who Code, for example, Reshma, how do you get girls to shake off the constraints they bring in with them?
I think sometimes just by learning how to code. It's like every girl, and this is because society thinks you have to be a super genius to learn how to code. So when they're learning it and they're getting frustrated and they're trying again, and then finally, right, they're building that website, they're making that sprite dance, they're making that robot move, like, they're like, wow, I can do this. And I had thought that I couldn't. And then I see they move from our programs and they're doing incredible things. They're like building apps that they're putting on the Apple Store. You know, they're standing up against bullies. They're going to Cambodia and teaching more. I mean, the amount of parents and educators have told me, like, this program has changed their life. And it's not just the coding. It's the bravery. It's the brave, not perfect. It's the fact that they learned unlearned perfectionism. That's the difference.
You mention a book that Mattel put out, a Barbie book, for, you know, Barbie the doll character, called I Can Be a Computer Engineer. That was in 2014. That sounds promising, but how did the story turn in a way that kind of gave you a sense of chagrin?
Yeah, it's, you know, the title of the book is I Can Be a Computer Science Engineer. And there's a page of Barbie and Skipper, you know, who are building a robot puppy. And, you know, Skipper says to Barbie, you know, your puppy is so sweet. Can I play with it? Sorry, that's my son. Uh-huh. And she's like, you know, she's like, you know, I need Stephen and Brian's help to turn it into a real game. And that is, you know, that's what we tell our girls, right? That you need the boys to basically help you.
Wow. that's amazing. So we can only get so far, then we have to ask for help from a boy.
No, absolutely. But I think we get it in our head that there are certain things for girls and there's certain things for boys and that we can't do things. And that's the thing that we have to teach our girls. Like, you can literally be everything and anything.
So that brings us into a section of the book that I have to tell you, I love the title of. It's called In a World Full of Princesses, Dare to Be a Hot Dog. What does that mean?
Oh, my God. It means exactly what Ainsley did in the book. It's Princess Week. And instead of showing up as Elsa, she shows up wearing a hot dog costume. It's amazing. You know, that's what I say. Bravery is, you know, it's not dragon slaying. It's not saving babies from burning buildings. It's about doing things for you. It's about showing up in life like a hot dog.
There's a fun story that you provide in that section of the book about boarding a plane early in the morning with curlers in your hair. Is that something you would have done 10 years before?
No, I would have cared too much. I would have thought that if I'm polished, I'll be perfect. And, you know, showing up with curlers in your hair, you know, to a flight when everyone's staring at you is certainly not polished. But you know what? My hair looks better that way. And so I'm going to do it. I'm not going to care what people think. And I do often push myself to do things a little outrageous like that, just to kind of, again, start building my bravery muscle.
So for the adult women listeners, are there some concrete steps to get past the desire for perfection?
Absolutely. So the first thing I say is practice imperfection. Practice imperfection. Go to the airport with curlers in your hair, you know, or maybe go to the grocery store with no makeup on, or send an email with a typo in it, right? Bring store-bought cookies to your son's birthday party. Do the thing that you thought, oh, I can never do that. And see that, you know, things will not fall apart. The second thing I say is, you know, we talked about this earlier, do something you suck at. like I said, men have things that they love to do that they're not good at. We don't have those things. And the good thing about doing something like that is, like, you know what it's like to feel mediocre or just enjoy something without having to be the best. So for me, I go to a yoga class or I'm trying to learn how to surf, even though I don't know how to swim, because it makes me feel good that I'm trying something new and I don't have to be great at everything. The third thing I say is just start. You know, for me, it was buying a URL called Girls Who Code. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. You know, for some people, they're staring at a closet that they talked about cleaning, and they just do one shelf. Just take one step.
It really is. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, isn't it?
So true. And then you don't have all that envy and that regret because you're working on it. You're working on your dream. You're taking a step towards it. And it feels awesome.
Let me take a call in here from John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Reshma Saujani, the author of Brave Not Perfect.
Hey, thanks. I'd like her opinion on two things. First of all, my 6-year-old granddaughter plays with dolls, and she seems to love it. And I don't know whether we steered her into that or her parents did, but the second thing, which is completely different, is my wife is the leader type. Very strong personality. People rally around her. She's the last thing, you know, as a doubting woman. So anyway, what do you take on that? Just curious.
Bye. All right. Thanks, John.
Sure. Listen, if your daughter loves dolls, she loves dolls. I think that's great. And the next time something in the house breaks apart, take your granddaughter and her doll both to go fix it. You know, we got to meet girls where they're at. And so it's not about not allowing them to love princesses or play with dolls or play dress up, but it's about also exposing them to other things and, you know, allowing them to, like, take risks when they're young. And that's why I think, like, the tinkering and the taking things apart and the building and the creating and getting dirty, like, that's what's really, to me, I think, very important to kind of lead to a life of failure and risk taking. I love that your wife is a leader and that she's brave. You know, there are women that don't suffer from this perfectionism or it's only 10 or 20% of their life. And, you know, I was a leader too. And if somebody saw me, they'd be like, wow. And one of the things I realized though, is there's a difference between being a go-getter and being gutsy. You know, a lot of women go-getters. They go after things. But what I want to help them do is be more gutsy in their leadership pursuit. Take more risks.
And surround yourself with rejection, I notice, is one of the recommendations you make.
Yeah, I mean, I think because we really coddle our daughters. So, like, if they are bad at gymnastics, we put them into, you know, swimming or something else. You know, they don't face a lot of rejection and critical feedback. And so when we get older as women, it's hard for us to hear it. We take it personally. And so what I do is every time I get rejected from something, I put that letter on my refrigerator and I look at it. I literally surround myself with rejection and it helps me build my bravery muscle and helps me feel like, you know what? I'm not going to let someone tell me that they can't do something and I'm not going to take it personally.
So Reshma, before we go, how much thicker is your skin than it was just after you lost your congressional primary?
Oh, it's so much thicker. It's so much thicker, but it doesn't mean that it still doesn't hurt. It just doesn't stop me from doing the things that I want to do.
All right, so you can still feel the failure, but not be stopped by the failure.
Yeah, you recover faster, mm-hmm. I think. You know, that's what my book helps you do. It helps you take that risk. It helps you recover faster. And it also brings you joy. You know, it's funny, like sometimes when you fail or you try something and it doesn't work out, it actually, you're kind of happier because you're like, wow, at least I tried. And I think that's the place that we want to get into.
The book is called Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder, the work of Reshma Saujani, who joined us a year and a half ago to talk about girls who code. Thanks so much for coming back and joining us on The Exchange.